So, what do you do when someone gives you a call? And say you pick up your phone, your phone is ringing, and then you pick it up, and then what do you say? You say, hello. Or if you're Chinese, yes, you say, hey. Or I don't know what I'll say. Maybe if you're mean or you already know the person, you say, what do you want? But apparently, all around the world, in different countries, people answer the phone very differently. Say, for example, Germans, when they answer the phone, they would actually answer with their last name. Or in Denmark, the Danes, they would answer with both their first and their last names. Russians, they'll say, pick up the phone and say, I'm listening. Or the French, they would say, hello, who's on the line? Italians, they would greet the caller by saying, ready. And then the caller would say, who's speaking? And the Spanish, they'll just give a command, they'll say, speak. So, as you can see, many people all around the world, they pick up the phone and they answer it very, very differently. Now, what will happen if God had called you? How would you respond? Now, I'm not talking about a call where like God is actually calling your cell phone, but rather, I'm talking about a call where God is calling you to maybe serve in a particular ministry, or God may be calling you to do something that is according to His will. So just as there's different ways to respond and pick up the phone, how would you respond when God is to call you? God's calling can apply in our lives in many, many different situations. You know, for many of us, we're starting a new school year. What is God's will for me? Does He want me to join this club or that club? Or does He want me to spend more time with this group of friends so I could build relationships and share the gospel? Or maybe if you're a senior and you're saying, okay, I'm going to graduate. Where does God want me next? Does He want me going to the world? Does He want me to go into college? What is His will in my life? Or maybe here in the church, maybe seeking God's will for, oh, does God want me to serve in this particular ministry or that particular ministry? How should I do so in a way that would honor and glorify Him? Or really, no matter what is in your life, there is a way for God to be able to call you. But when God does call you, how would you respond? How would you answer? And I know that deep down inside, we may have a little bit when it comes to God's call. Because we don't know, sometimes it's even hard to hear what is God's call. Sometimes it's hard to even figure out what is God trying to say to us and God, what God would want us to do. So how do we even listen or hear God's call in the first place? And when we do, how do we respond to it? So today, as we look into our passage, we'll learn from the example of Moses. You see, God called Moses, and Moses did respond. So we'll learn from Moses' example. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to please take them out. Turn with me. We're going to be in the book of Exodus, chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, we're going to be reading from verses 1 to 12. If you don't have a Bible, you can look along with your neighbor, or you can see that one in the pews in front of you. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. Later on, we will be getting into chapter 4, but for now, we'll read chapter 3. As you turn there, I'll give you a small background. So here, the Israelites were God's people, and they had been in Egypt for over 400 years. And they were enslaved by the Egyptians. And at this point in time, you know, after 400 years, many of the Israelites were wondering, has God forsaken us? Does God even remember us? Does He remember the promise that He made to our forefathers, Abraham, about giving us the promised land and making our people numerous as the stars in the skies, as numerous as the sands in the desert? So the Israelites were wondering, has God forgotten us? But here at this point, God was calling Moses to lead and save the Israelites out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. So I hope you're here with me. Exodus chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1 to 12. Verse 1. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. Verse 3. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Verse 7. Then the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings. And I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I've also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring the people out, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He said, "But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow your head to me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. Father, we pray that you would open our eyes. I pray that you would teach us as you show us what is your will in our life. I pray that you would help us to understand your will. Help us to know how we can hear your call for us. Help us to understand how we should respond when we hear your call. Lord, maybe right now we're in a situation in our lives where we don't know what's going to happen in the future. We're scared, we're afraid, we just don't know what is the purpose of our life. If that's the case, I pray that you will speak to us today as we look into your word. Father, we lift up these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. So, from today's passage, we're going to be answering three main questions. So if you'd like to take notes, I encourage you to write these questions down. So the first question that we're going to ask is, why don't we hear God's call for us? Why don't we hear God's call for us? Then we're going to answer our second question. How do we discern if a call is really from God? So how do we discern if a call is really from God? And then finally, we'll answer our third question. How should we respond to God's call for us? So how should we respond to God's call for us? So again, those three questions. Number one, why don't we hear God's call for us? Number two, how do we discern if a call is really from God? And then the third question, how should we respond to God's call for us? Okay, so let's start with the first question. Why don't we hear God's call from us? Let's begin at the beginning of this passage here in chapter 3, starting from verse 1. It says, "Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flocks to the west side of the wilderness, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame out of fire out of the midst of the bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed." So here at the beginning of the story, we see Moses taking care of a flock of sheep that belonged to his father-in-law, Jethro. And then all of a sudden, he noticed a burning bush. And he's like, ooh, fire. Was Moses a pyro? Maybe it's like some of you, if you saw like anything fire-related, you would automatically go to it and say, ooh, what is this? What is that? So was Moses a pyro? No, Moses wasn't a pyro. What attracted him to the burning bush wasn't the fact that it was burning. No, because actually this was pretty common. It wasn't uncommon for in the middle of a desert because of the hot sun for a bush to automatically combust into flames. But rather, what drew him to the bush was the fact that it was burning, but yet it didn't completely consume the bush. So, you know, it's simple math. You know, fire plus stuff should equal burned stuff. So, essentially, Moses was wondering, what is this phenomenon? Why wasn't it burst like completely burning up? So, what happened? Moses came and to see what is going on. Read verse 3. He said, "And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned." And after he went to this bush, what happened?
Read verse 4. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called out to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." So think about this. When did God actually call out to Moses? When did God speak to Moses? He spoke to Moses as soon as Moses approached God and sought for the reason for the phenomenon of why this bush wasn't burned out completely. So let's answer our first question. Why don't we hear God's call for us? Here's the answer. In order to hear God's call for us, we need to actively seek Him. In order to hear God's call for us, we need to actively seek Him. Now, sometimes my family and I, we would go shopping. So to sort of save time, I would drop off Joyce and Olive, my baby daughter, at, say, ShopRite. And then I'll go somewhere else and I'll go do something else. And later on, I'll come back to the store to try to find them. But you see, when I go in there, the store is so big and I don't know where they are. So I had to actively seek for them. And because I'm actively seeking for them, what do? I don't just use my eyes, I use my ears as well. Because Olive, she's at this point where she just starts to randomly scream, okay? So I just start listening for Joyce's voice. I started listening for Olive's voice as she's screaming. And then eventually, as I go through the different aisles, I'm able to easily locate them. But you see, if I were just in the store, and let's say I'm not actively seeking for them, let's say they're not even there at all, you know, I hear a lot of voices, I hear a lot of noises in the store, but because I'm not actually seeking for anything or anyone, I'm not particularly listening to anything. So that's why it's easy to be able to walk through the store and not really pay attention to the noise that's around you. But if I am actively seeking for someone, and in this case, my wife and my daughter, then I would listen for their voice and I would be more likely to hear them. See, this applies to us when it comes to hearing God's call for us in our life. See, what happens for Moses? No, Moses, you see, there was a burning bush that was, essentially this burning bush was a distraction to his normal daily routine of taking care of the sheep and taking care of them, essentially. So Moses, he could have just totally ignored this burning bush and went about his normal day of life. Because, you know, a burning bush was very common in that day. And he could have just continued tending his sheep. But he didn't do that. He saw the burning bush and he let that be a distraction to his normal daily routine. So likewise, I believe that we can also look for the burning bush that is in our life. So we know about God. We know how He is the almighty creator of everything, of the universe. We know what He can do. We know that He has the capability to save us from our sins and to be able to help us through our trials and sufferings. And we know that God is present with us. But it is possible for us to go through our normal daily routine of life but not notice God represented by this burning bush. You know, oftentimes we see our normal daily routine of life, our school, our work, as a distraction to our relationship with God. But rather, let's look at it the other way around. Let's see our relationship with God as a distraction to our normal daily routine of life. As a Christian, we're all called to be able to have a personal and growing relationship with God. We are called to actively seek Him and to hear His calling for us. So again, our first question, so why don't we hear God's call for us? In order to hear God's call for us, we need to actively seek Him. So I want to encourage you all, we need to be careful. As we go through our daily life, are we distracted by our relationship with God? Do we actively seek to grow in our relationship with God? Because by doing so, we can be able to know who God is. We can be able to hear and know when God is actually calling us to serve Him, to do this or do that in our life, to be able to reveal His will for us. Now, again, I think the times when we are wondering, where's God in my life? How is God speaking to me? Maybe it's because we aren't actively seeking Him in the first place. So that's why our encouragement for us is to actively seek Him so that we can be able to hear God's will for us. So as we continue on in this story, then we say, okay, now I know what it takes for us to hear God's call for me, but when I hear something, how do I know that it is really from God? So this is why we move on to our second question. How can we discern if a call is really from God? So let's continue on the story. Start reading from verse 4. When the Lord saw that he, Moses, had turned aside to see, God called out to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he, God, said, "Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." So Moses heard God's call after he went to the burning bush. And then when God called him, what did God tell him to do? God told him, "Don't come any closer. Take off your sandals, for this is holy ground." Do you know what this means? This means that God must be Asian, right? Because usually when you go to someone's house in their Asian household, you're supposed to take off your shoes. No, that's not what it's saying. When God told Moses to take off his shoes, it's basically a sign of humility. You know, just as servants are usually barefoot, those who are poor and needy are usually barefoot. And the ground was holy, not because it was holy in itself, but it was holy because of God's presence was there. So by taking off his sandals and being before God is also an act of humility and worship. So this was part of Moses' experience when God had called out to him. But as you know, as I talk with different people, different pastors, different church leaders, and different church members about what is their experience with God calling them, I notice that everyone's experience are very different. Because God knows what is the best way to interact with us, to get our attention, and for us to hear His call for us. For some people, they may actually hear an audible call from God. They actually claim that they hear God speaking in them, telling them to serve in this ministry, telling them to do that. For other people, it's more of a prompting in their heart. And for some people, it's not necessarily a one-time event, but rather it is an ongoing event throughout a period of time in which God helps them to reveal what is His will, what is His calling. Now, regardless of the way that God uses to call you in His life, we still need to know what is the best way for us to discern whether this call that we're hearing is actually from God. Is it really from God calling me? Or is this my own consciousness? Is this something that is just personally for me? Or is this just a call that maybe I heard from someone else? Or is it from like another spirit? Like, what is it? How do I know whether something is really from God? 1 John chapter 4 verse 1 says this, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Many false prophets have gone out into the world." So we need to be able to test to see whether something is really from God. So how do we do that? So usually when we test for something, there are certain criteria, there are certain factors that will help us to be able to discern whether something is true or not. So I mean, just like a science experiment. Let's say that at one point in your life, you're going to have to eventually buy a house. Okay. So a couple of years ago, I had to go through this process. I know Dennis recently had to go through this process as well. So if we want to buy a house, you need to be able to start to list out, okay, what are the things that I want in a house? You know, I need to make sure it has at least 3 bedrooms or 2 baths. I need to make sure that it has an office. I need to make sure maybe you would like the basement to be finished. So you have this list of criteria of things to look for to be able to, as you are visiting different houses, to be able to know, okay, which one meets my requirements to be able to be the one that I am going to purchase or not. So likewise, when we are trying to discern God's call for us, we need to know what are the criteria to be able to help us know whether it's from God or whether it is not. And this criteria isn't something that we make up or something that we decide, but rather this criteria comes from Scripture. So we'll see that as we go back into the passage here. But in the meantime, let's answer our second question. How do we discern if a call is really from God? So here's the answer. So here are the criteria, basically. So God will reveal His identity, His intention, and His assurance. So these three things. God will reveal His identity, His intention, and His assurance. So we see these three factors as we look at Moses' call. So return back with me, chapter 3, read from verse 6. And he said, this is God speaking, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. So after God had called out to Moses, and Moses said, "Here I am," what is the first thing that God revealed to Moses in this calling? God revealed to him his identity. God identified himself. So obviously, Moses knew that this had to be from God. So in our experiences when God calls us, we may most likely not necessarily hear God audibly speak to us like he did with Moses, but it is still possible for us to see whether God identified himself in his call for us. God can identify himself even with his inaudible voice, and it's a voice that we can be able to recognize, just like how a sheep can be able to recognize the voice of his shepherd. So a while ago, I came across a video of a farmer, and there were some visitors on this farm, and they were at this sheep pen, and the sheep, they were in the fields, like far away, and the farmer told the visitors to say, hey, try to call out to the sheep and try to get them to come closer to us. So the visitors, they tried all they can to, like, they tried whistling, they tried calling, sheep, sheep, come here, and to no avail, because the sheep knew that this wasn't the shepherd calling them. But then the shepherd, the farmer, would then say, give a certain a particular whistle and a certain call, and then all of a sudden you hear all these bleating of sheep, and they start coming closer and closer. So they responded only to the voice of the farmer or the shepherd, because they know who is taking care of them. So likewise, with God as our shepherd and we are his sheep, we should be able to recognize God's identity when he calls, even if it's inaudible. So how do we do that practically? Well, I guess first of all, when you hear a call and you want to know whether it's from God, first you see, is this call, is it something that is sinful? Because if the action is sinful, then we know that it can't be from God. Because why would God call you to do something sinful? So that's one way to know whether something's not from God. Or in other words, even if a call or an action in a call is not necessarily sinful, but if you are tempted to go about obeying this call or doing this action in a sinful manner, like for example, you may be tempted to serve in a certain ministry out of pride because you want more of the focus on you, and you say, oh, look at me, I'm good at serving in this way, I have a good relationship with God, this and that. If that's the case, then it's also likely and possible that that calling is not from God as well. So we see here that we can be able to identify from God's call, and even though God didn't necessarily audibly speak to you. So for me personally, a couple of years ago when I was in college, God had called me to be a pastor. And I knew that this call had to be from God because deep down inside, I didn't want to be a pastor. I was like, I'd rather do something else. It wasn't the first thing that I wanted to do. So this is how I know that this is a calling that's not necessary for me, but it had to be from God. So another way that we can be able to discern God's calling is by testing for what is his intention, what is his purpose for us. So as we continue on this passage, this is the second thing that God will tend to reveal to us when he's calling us to something, his intention. Read with me, starting from verse 7. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I've also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. So here's a call. Verse 10, come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So here, as we see God calling Moses, God revealed his intention. God had a specific call. He had told Moses that at this time, he would go back to Egypt, he would lead the Israelites out of Egypt, out of slavery, and free them. So it was a calling that was very specific, and it was at this particular time, and it was specifically for him. So when we hear a call from God, we also need to test for intention. Is there a specific calling that God has for us at this particular time, or in this particular ministry, or whatever it may be? So back to my story, my calling of to be a pastor. God didn't just necessarily call me to be a pastor when I was in college. God specifically said that he wants me to be a pastor here in Albany, here at CCCGA, and due to the needs of the church at that time. So it was a specific calling and a specific purpose. And this is another indicator that I know that it must be from God. So when God calls us, God may not necessarily reveal everything to us at one time, as he did with Moses. There are many missionaries that God has called to. They know that God wants them to be a missionary, but they don't necessarily know, oh, what country and what time that God wants them to go to serve in. So that may come sometime later on. Or God may call you to specifically to lead worship, but then you may not know, does he want me to lead worship now? Or does he want me to lead worship at this church or another church? See, God will eventually reveal the specifics. And once we get the intention, the specifics, the purpose, then we know that that's another indication that it is from God. So not only that God reveals his identity, but he should also reveal his intention. And finally, as we look in this passage, we see that God will also reveal his assurance. So let's see, what did God say to Moses? Look at verse 12 here in chapter 3. He said, "But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." So what is the assurance that God had given to Moses? What is the assurance that what he said will definitely happen? He said that Moses will return to this particular mountain, and it's Mount Horeb. And Mount Horeb is actually known as Mount Sinai. This is the same mountain where God had given the Ten Commandments to the Israelites. And we know that this happened because after Moses had brought the Israelites out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, as they were wandering out, they eventually came back to Mount Sinai, and this is where God gave them the Ten Commandments. So God gave Moses this assurance. He said, "I will be with you. You will come back to this mountain." God's assurance is another indicator for us to test of whether a call is really from God or not. Now back to my personal calling from God to be a pastor here at CCCGA. Back then in college, I had really felt the assurance that what God had said will actually happen, because part of this assurance came from the desire that he had given me to be able to preach God's word and do nothing else. Back then, I couldn't think of anything else that I would rather do than to be able to preach God's word. And yes, sure, at times I had some doubts from here and there. At times I had to really discern what is God's calling, to see whether it's really from him or not. At times I didn't know what is the particular way, because, you know, as a college student, how do I get from being a college student to being a pastor? There's so many questions that I have that to make that happen. But I had the assurance that what God said will happen, will happen. So this is another thing to test for, assurance in our calling with God. So again, our second question, how can we discern whether a call is really from God? So he said that God will reveal his identity, God will reveal his intention, and God will reveal his assurance. So this is my encouragement for all of you. If you are discerning whether something is really from God for now, test for these three things: God's identity, God's intention, and then his assurance. Search God for God in these three things. And really, have patience when doing so. Talk with other people, because other people can be able to help you discern these three things as well. Okay, so now we know how we can hear God's calling, so we need to actively seek him. And now we know, once we hear the call, how to be able to discern whether that call is really from God. Then this brings us to the third question that we'll answer. How should we respond? How should we respond to God's call from us? So many times when we hear God's call, we just hesitate, because we at times can be very reluctant. We may not be sure. And the reason why we react this way is because we usually want more time to be able to see whether it's really from God. Or maybe like God calls us to do something that we actually don't really want to do. Or you may be thinking, oh, God will never call me to do this. But if we react in this way, we actually have to think, really, the focus is more on ourselves. Our hesitancy, our reluctance to automatically obey God's call when we hear it, is because we are worried about ourselves, about what other people think of us, rather than what we think about God. So let's answer our third question. How should we respond to God's call for us? We should respond by faith, by focusing on God's credibility rather than our imperfections. I'll say it one more time. We can respond with faith by focusing on God's credibility rather than focus on our imperfections. When we focus on our imperfections, you know, sometimes we say, oh, when God calls us to something, you say, oh, let me pray about it. But usually when we say, let me pray about it, it's usually, oh, let me just push it off from, and I don't want to obey God's call right away. So we may experience this reluctance to obey God's call, but here's some assurance. We're not the only one. Because Moses also felt the same way. Moses also felt a level of reluctance when it comes to responding to God's call. So let's go back to here to our passage and let's see how Moses responded. Look at verse 11. So after hearing God's call, but Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Who am I? Because like Moses was saying, I'm not a perfect human being. And actually, if you read in chapter 2 of Exodus, you see that Moses had actually killed a man. No, he's not perfect. But how did God respond? In verse 12, we'll see that God actually doesn't answer his question. Now, Moses asked, oh, who am I to be able to do this? God doesn't answer his question. Verse 12, what does God say? He said, but I will be with you, and this shall be a sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. So God didn't answer his question directly. Rather, God responded by saying what he can be able to do. He said, God said, I am the one that will be with you. I'm the one that will promise to lead you out and to bring you back to this mountain after you have freed the Israelites from Egypt. The focus, again, is on God's credibility rather than on Moses. If we jump to chapter 4, we see that Moses made a lot more excuses when it comes to responding to God's call. Look at verse 1 in chapter 4. It says, then Moses answered, but behold, they, the Israelites, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. So the excuse was that, oh, even if I try to convince the Israelites that God has sent me, they'll say, we don't believe you at all. What does God respond? If you look at verses 2 to 9, God responds by having Moses perform three different miracles. Verses 2 to 5, he had Moses turn his staff into a serpent by throwing it on the ground, and when he picked up the serpent, it turned back into a staff. In verses 6 to 8 of chapter 4, you see God had told Moses to put his hand inside his cloak, and when he pulled it out, it was leprous. It was white as snow. And when he put his hand back in his cloak and pulled it out again, it turned back to normal. And then also in verse 9, he had said that he can be able to turn the Nile, this river, into blood. So these are three signs that God said that you can perform these miracles to be able to show that that God really did call Moses to lead them out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. So again, what is the focus? The focus is on God's credibility rather than on Moses' imperfection. Also, look at verse 10. Moses made another excuse. But Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. So another excuse Moses said is like, I'm not good at public speaking. I don't like speaking in front of crowds. So he must be an introvert or something like that. So he was focusing on his imperfections. But how did God respond? Look at verse 11. And God responds by saying that is he who had created man's mouth. So again, do you see the focus is on God's credibility rather than man's imperfection? So again, the third question, how should we respond to God's call for us? Respond with faith by focusing on God's credibility rather than our imperfection. Now, there once was a father who was taking his 3-year-old son into the park to play. And he had his 3-year-old son put him up on a ledge, and he held his hand, and he had his 3-year-old son walk along the edge as he held his hand. Then all of a sudden, the father was like, hey, son, why don't you jump? I'll catch you. But then the son was like, oh, no, I'm too scared. I don't want to do it. No, he said, no, son, trust me. I will be able to catch you. And still, the son was still uncertain. Until there's a point where, literally, the son took a leap of faith, and then he was caught in the arms of his father. So this is an illustration that really pictures our relationship with God as well. Sometimes God will call us, I want you to serve in this ministry. I want you to go share the gospel with this person. Or I want you to move and go to the other side of the country and take on this job, whatever it may be. And we may say, I'm too scared. I don't think I can be able to do it. But the focus, again, is on God's credibility. In this illustration, it's that the focus is on God's ability, or the Father's ability, to be able to catch the Son, rather than the Son's fear. Let's focus on God rather than us. You see, when we think about our calling, we usually think that's all about us. But really, it's not about us. When God calls us, it is never focused on you. God's call for us is focused on Him and what He can be able to do through you. God's call for us is very specific and has a specific purpose and an intention for what God can be able to accomplish through you. And really, God doesn't need us to accomplish His will. No, He can be able to save people. He can be able to have ministries become successful without our help. But you see, God chooses for us to be a part of His will. He chooses to use us so that we can, again, focus on what He can do rather than focus on us. You know, a lot of times when we're thinking about our calling, we think it's about me, me, me. But rather, it's about what God can be able to do through us. So again, how should we respond? God's call for us. Respond by focusing on God's credibility rather than our imperfections. God will be able to help you through your studies and through the commitments that you have at work if you take time to serve in ministries here at church. Or God will be able to provide for you your spiritual gifts or certain talents if you feel like you don't have those particular gifts to serve in a particular ministry. Or God can be able to protect you if He calls you to serve in a different country as a missionary. See, all the fears and concerns that we have, God will be able to protect and provide us with. So as you seek for God's will, as you hear His call, as you discern that whether that call is from Him, we can also think about how we should respond. Do we focus more on what God can do through us, or do we focus on our imperfections? Is God currently calling you to serve in any particular way? Or maybe you're here in church for the first time and maybe you're not a believer. God may be calling you to see whether He can be able to save you from your sins. Will you accept Him as your Savior? So all throughout our lives, God is always calling out to us. So let's review everything that we've learned from this passage here in Exodus chapter 3 and also a little bit in chapter 4. Again, we answered three questions, so let's review them. First question that we asked is, why don't we hear God's call for us? So we said, in order to hear God's call for us, we need to actively seek Him. And we move on to our second question. How do we discern if a call is really from God? And we said, God will reveal three things: His identity, intention, and His assurance. And these things are what we can test for in our call. And finally, the third question, as we said, how should we respond to God's calling for us? We can respond with faith by focusing on God's credibility rather than our imperfections. See, all throughout history, in the Bible and throughout all of the human history, God kept on calling different people. In the Bible, God had called Noah to build the ark. God had called Jonah to go to Nineveh, even though he was unwilling to do so. God had called Mary, a teenager, to give birth to Jesus Christ. God had called the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus to believe in Him and eventually to be used by Him as a missionary to reach out to the Gentiles. Even for missionaries in the past, God had called Hudson Taylor, Adoniram Judson, David Brainerd, Jim Elliot, Jonathan Edwards. And all these people, they had to have heard God's call, they had to discern it, and then they had to have responded to it. And God is also calling us as well. You and me, as ordinary people, God can be able to call us and use us. As we begin this new season of life in school, in work, or as we consider new ministries at church, we can all be a part of serving in the kingdom of God as we recognize God's call for us. And when God calls us, how would we respond? And my prayer is that we will respond in faith. Would you bow your heads with me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, Father, we love you. We thank you for this message that you've given us. Lord, I ask that you would continue to show yourself and reveal yourself to us in our lives. Help us to hear your voice as you call us. You know, if we are Christians, if we are growing in our relationship with you, we should be hearing your voice. We should know whether you are calling us to serve in one way or another, or calling us to move on in the next direction of our life. Lord, help us not to fear, but to trust in you, because we know we can't do it on our own. We know that we have our own imperfections. We know that we have our own sinfulness. But Lord, after all, ultimately, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. And forever, we're not in bondage of that sin. We have freedom. We have eternal life through our faith in you. We're going to praise you for that, Lord. And I pray that this praise will be reflected as we continue to sing songs of worship to you. Father, we lift up these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen.